Never worry again about sales tax with Davo by Avalara. From collecting to filing to paying, Davo works seamlessly with your POS, backed by a guarantee that your taxes will be paid on time and in full. You take care of the business, we'll take care of the sales tax.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of Extra Serving, a podcast from Nation's Restaurant News. I am Sam Okus, Editor-in-Chief at NRN, and this week I am excited to share yet another conversation from the recent National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. Nick Voinovich is a restaurant veteran who, for many years, was the president of Beef O'Brady's. Since 2011, however, he's been president and majority partner of Little Greek, a fast casual Mediterranean brand out of Florida. Nick is full of energy and wisdom on the restaurant industry, and he's someone I love to touch base with when I want an honest opinion on the challenges and opportunities facing restaurant operators today. That is exactly what he gave me in this interview from the show floor in Chicago, which I am happy to share with you now. Enjoy the conversation.
All right, I'm sitting down with Nick Voinovich of Little Greek. Nick, thanks for joining me tonight.
Come on, Sam. You know, it's an honor to be with you, a stellar industry media highlight of ours, so it's good to see you as well.
Always love talking to you. Yeah. And we were talking before we hit record. Sure. There's lots going on right now for the industry and specifically Little Greek.
Yeah.
What's the number one thing you're thinking about today with the business?
It was kind of funny because I was talking to our buddies over Outback founder, Bob Basham, and we were discussing how, you know, every year you have bullets coming at you in business. He says, it seems like there's more bullets coming at us than normal.
Yes.
We've had this huge push where the whole pricing thing, where our commodities, for instance, for us, our euro meat went from $100 a case to $120. So we've had to pass these price increases on. And then also in Florida, where the bulk of, we have 50 Little Greeks all together, most are in Florida and in Texas, the minimum wages go up to 15, which in, you know, in some cases 20.
Yep.
So we've had to do not only bump our prices because of food increases, but also labor. And so the one thing you'd ask me, what's bothering you? Well, for the first time in 12 years, 13 years, we're seeing a negative sales. So we're, as you know, in the restaurant industry, comp store sales, we got to keep growing sales because your insurance goes up, rent goes up.
Yep.
But our first quarter, second quarter, we're down 2%. And so it's really a concern. I'm trying to get a sense from, industry folks, is this a long term or is it just a little blip? And I guess there's really no answer. They don't know if it's a soft landing, but I feel like the lower end consumers and even some higher end people are pulling back. I hear anecdotally, I took my kids to McDonald's and I can't believe it's $60.
Yeah.
So it is. I'm telling our franchisees, don't take price this year. Even if you have to cut your margins, try to sit tight, try to hang in there, because you don't want to lose those customers, because once you lose them, it's hard to get them back.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, the first quarter earnings, when we were all blown away by Starbucks and negative sales, it's really crazy what's happening in the industry right now. But of course, it really is rooted in traffic. Right now, it's hard to get customers in the doors. It seems we've hit a tipping point on price, to your point.
Right.
What can be done to get them, the customers, to come back? Is it going to be a while before they do?
Well, I did meet with our folks at Kronos. I told them what's going on. How we had a customer, I said, one of our stores in South Tampa, and the customer comes in and, hey, Nick, how you doing? Good to see you. And he goes, orders a Euro pita and puts out a $10 bill. And she goes, oh, that'll be $10.29. And I said, man, we've had to raise our price because of what's going on. And so I just talked to Kronos. What we're going to try to do is partner with our vendor. Can we get some free product? And maybe we'll do a price promo. McDonald's doing that $5 deal.
Yeah.
And maybe we can put something together like that in July or August. And just use an incentive. What I told my brother as a hot dog restaurant, I said, Greg, maybe just do one day a week. Do a lower price point to try to bring folks who are more price sensitive. Calista, she makes a lot of money, so she doesn't worry about price. The simple folks, they are very price sensitive, and so maybe you use that as a tool to bring those folks in, the ones who are really paying attention to that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's no easy answer because it is, I think the other part I talked to you earlier, we went from pre-COVID doing 60% of our sales Uber Eats, DoorDash, now it's 36%. And we have to charge more because they charge us, 20-25%.
Right.
So say we're ordering room service, and I do feel that some of that traffic, and I don't really know the numbers, but I imagine some of that traffic's backing off. When people, when they're ordering their food at home, they're getting a little sticker shock as well.
It's funny you say that, because DoorDash first quarter transactions were up 20%.
Wow.
Revenue was up 20%. And that, because I had that same thought, which is, okay, we're going to see this across the board, especially with the third-party marketplaces where you're paying $5 service fee or whatever you're paying. It's tipping, of course, but it doesn't seem to be proving out. So what that's led me to believe is, customers are pulling back on their eating away from home, perhaps, but they maybe are still willing to pay that sort of laziness tax of getting the delivery, maybe.
Yeah, we even heard how there'd be a home with four people, and they'd have four different orders from these delivery companies.
Yep.
And then we were doing some hiking in New Mexico, and I was just, we're in the morning getting coffee at McDonald's, and we asked the guy, do you guys get DoorDash? He goes, we had a customer order a large Coca-Cola by itself, $12 for DoorDash. I go,
$12.
And we have people like, I go, I'm at one of our restaurants, and there's a DoorDash delivery. I go, it's 100 yards away. I mean, how... We're lazy people.
Well, and that's where the value equation comes in,
exactly.
Because I really believe value now doesn't just mean price points and quality and portion size. It's also convenience and accessibility.
It's all about time. But then for me, you know, here we are taking, we have this wonderful product made from scratch. It comes off the grill, 350 degrees, cooked to order, and then they're getting it 30, 40 minutes later. We had to tie the little tea sacks in a knot. Drivers were eating the French fries. And so it's just been a conundrum.
Yeah, yes.
Because, you know, it's not the quality product that we want, but to your point, I guess consumers want that easy, you know, just late, you know, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but they just want convenience.
Yeah.
You know, they're willing to pay for it. They're willing to, you know, it's maybe not the same quality, but they don't have to go wait in line, go drive their car and all that stuff as well.
I can safely say for myself, it's laziness. When I do it, it's laziness. All right. So, you know, you were mentioning before, you know, how this is really the first time because of labor costs going up, you've had to take price.
Right.
And you're squeezing all sides.
Right.
Which, of course, leads to price increases. But I'm wondering, anywhere on the P&L you can save? I mean, what are you looking at? How can you play with some of these costs?
Well, yeah, a great question. I do want to run a little sidebar with you.
Yeah.
One of the trends I'm seeing, not from Little Greek yet, and hopefully my franchisees, I'm sure they're all listening eagerly.
Of course.
But I'm seeing up in Ohio, and in a few restaurants in Tampa, they're doing that 3% credit card surcharge.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder... I mean, at the end of the day, the consumer, there's this lump sum price. So back to your question, I think what we're trying to do is maybe we're going more automation. I think I talked to you a little earlier. We have this weird deal in Tampa. There's a big Greek community where I live called Tarpon Springs. And for whatever reason, Papa's Restaurant, a famous Greek restaurant, they put potato salad in their Greek salad.
Mm.
And so, you know, here we are, a little Greek, you know, peeling 50 pounds of potato, you know, several times a week, boiling it, you know, it's heavy. So we're trying to find maybe a food manufacturer who can make our potato salad for us. I do feel that we're also looking to test kiosks and to do, we have more things made, we're mostly scratch kitchen, and maybe we should, like our Uncle soup, maybe we should have something to make that for us, because, you know, maybe we should take some of the labor out of the equation as well.
Yeah.
And there's no real easy answer. Our industry still is very much the same as it was 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
You look in the kitchen, save stuff there as well.
So my question then too, kind of going back to the traffic piece of this is, inflation is starting to come down.
Right.
We should expect the next year or two, you know, that we'll see inflation come down. Do prices come down? I mean, because at some point you have to get
never.
The customers to come back, but
never.
They're not going to go back down, right?
Yeah. I've never seen a restaurant. Now, I do think your point, though, maybe in a McDonald's LTO, mm-hmm. you try to play that game where you maybe do a little limited time offer, play the price game, because not all prices, like my wife, I'm a frugal guy, so I can already get a glass of water when I go out.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, she'll always order Coca-Cola, and I actually wear a Pepsi out. So I love Pepsi. She orders a Pepsi. But, you know, some people are not very sensitive that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, it's like, for instance, for the last 2 years, we really rarely took price because our commodities kind of stayed within a range. And we were, we do a little Greek art protein. We do 5 or 6 ounces. So it's a lot larger portions than your normal 3 or 4 ounces you find in other fast casual competitors. So I tell my franchisees, don't just whole price. You know, and at some point, hopefully it'll catch up to where as the consumers over time, they make more money, they'll come back. But it's really hard to lower price because I think psychologically, and also there is a certain element to where I think some of our guys took a little bit higher price because it was going so fast that like we're still kind of low tech. So menu boards are expensive. Getting your computers reprogrammed, that takes a lot of time and energy. Your takeout menus that they're already done. So there is some stickiness to once you get a price, you want to try to either hold as long as you can. So I think what I'm telling them is sit tight. If you have to take a little margin for a while, do it. I mean, let's face it. We were very lucky during COVID. We had that PPP money. Most of my stores are very small. They were built for takeout, so they've weathered that storm very well. I think they did well financially. They paid off a lot of loans. So I think that I'm telling them, hang in there. Sometimes you got to give back and let the consumer win a little bit. So don't take any price for the next year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scary thing about this, though, right, is that it's so much out of your hands. It's like sitting back and waiting for discretionary income to
come
back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So does that scare you at all?
It does. And that's where I was talking to Hudson Real, who does the NRA. And I said, Hudson, what do you project? He goes, Nick, we think it's a soft landing. We think everything, but then there's these crazy you know, Black Swan, you know, Ukraine, Russia, and, the situation in Israel. There's things you can't oil. Right. So there's just too many variables. And that's where, going back to the bullets coming at us, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Our industry is very resilient. People do want to eat out. And you just have to hope that, like, we were lucky kind of for COVID. And, you know, I don't want to get too political, but having most of our stores in Florida and Texas played well during COVID.
Sure.
So sometimes you get lucky. I do feel that our segment, the Greek Mediterranean, that's a very healthy on-trend segment that is more and more folks are getting it. So we're well positioned that way as well. We don't have a really big Chipotle or Five Guys that dominates our segment that we have to kind of work around.
Right.
So though we do have some inherent advantages that I think we're, you know, in life sometimes it's good to be lucky. And I think we've been lucky that way as well.
You've been in this industry a while, and you know that everything's also cyclical. And a lot of this reminds me of the recession of a decade ago.
Yes.
You know, can you compare and contrast? I mean, do you feel that way too? And does it feel like we're going to have the same kind of landing, so to speak, like Hudson says, as we did after the recession?
Yeah, I do feel similarly to the 2008-2009. Unfortunately, during these tougher times, and certainly with interest rates spiking up, you see a lot of restaurant chains going out.
Yeah.
And so I tell my guys, you know, it's almost like with Beef O'Brady's, when after a hurricane, if you're the first one open, huge boom. And for those of us restaurateurs, that can weather this storm, there'll be a lot of restaurant closures coming up.
Yeah.
And so I hate to say it, but sometimes the strong survive. And, you know, we know that after everything rebounds, these more folks will get back into business. But this is that part, what you mentioned, the cyclical part that kind of called the week. And the strong ones survive, and then you normally have a nice boom afterwards as the survivors kind of can take advantage. Now, the only thing curveball there is Florida has seen such strong growth at Dallas that those markets it looks like people are continuing to pour in. And we still are having problems finding real estate. The equipment situation was brutal a year or two ago. You couldn't get equipment.
Yep.
That's kind of eased up, but the permitting process, getting new stores, and then leases, they're really high. General contracts are high. So there is still a lot stacked up. Which the 2008-2009, we had a lot of restaurants go out because of that. And I've not seen yet any of those costs coming down as far as construction costs, rental costs, stuff like that, too.
To that point, I mean, we're expecting any day now a Red Lobster bankruptcy.
Yes.
Which is seismic, really, for that brand in this industry.
Iconic brand. Who would ever thought?
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And so, but I mean, to that point, like, look at the category they reside in.
Right.
And this is where you're well positioned, fast casual, right? Tell me about your perspective on how, you know, it feels like a lot of the challenges are disproportionately probably affecting casual dining.
Right.
And whereas fast casual, in my perspective, you're going to have trade down from casual and trade up from QSR. So even though there's some struggle and some softness in your same store sales, you're also well positioned for that.
Correct. And what a shame. I mean, I cut my teeth early career with Chili's, Applebee's, wonderful brands, great leadership. But in life, sometimes, you know, the things move on. And when you see we're doing 80% of our sales are outside the four walls, and you have these huge box, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 square foot boxes that are kind of, you know, 1980s kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing. These are great brands that are sometimes, but that goes back to that whole, the cycle of life, you know, and things move forward. And hopefully Little Greek's well positioned for the next 10 or 20 years, and we'll be able to sort of survive that as well.
Yeah.
But clearly, the consumer is much more sophisticated. They want, you know, more, I would call cutting edge, but more different food flavors and healthier profiles. And some of the burger firm bar kind of thing that doesn't really resonate. And, you know, I remember when I first started there, you know, ribs were a big deal. Now it's kind of the whole thing's moved on. So I think that a lot of those big boxes will be struggling to kind of maintain. But there's also great operators out there that'll figure out some. I think you got to be a lot more edgy, hip. Food has to be food forward, very kind of something new and different. You know, that's also, you know, the four quadrants, what's important to the customer and new and different that you can differentiate. And that's where I think with Little Greek, we have some wonderful Greek food that's really hard to replicate. And we have people within the Greek segment, I think some of our recipes are kind of unique and allow us to kind of outcompete with you with our similar stores. So
yeah,
it's a tough business. I think, you know, like I started to Callisto, we should get it. I will eat in the media business is where the easy money is.
Sure. Whatever you want to
eat. Exactly. You know, it is funny how every business, it's tough, man. You've got to always keep moving and kind of stay ahead of the game. But it's, you're young, I'm old, and you got to kind of, well, we've seen it. You've seen these things coming through, and
sure,
we always got to keep moving and try to figure out what are those next bullets coming at us and see what we can do to try to avoid them.
Yeah, well, certainly I remember, you know, post-recession, I think was some of the most exciting years for restaurant innovation. Because I'd call it 2012 to 16, 17,
yep.
you saw an incredible boom in innovation from an R&D perspective
right,
and concepts
right.
that were really playing with cool flavors.
Yeah.
Of course, fast casual really benefited from that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think to your point, like maybe we could expect something like that to come on the other side of
this. I think so too. But I guess the question for me to you, Sam, is the whole service experience, you know, because even the casual dining guys are doing more like tablets and things like that. My thing would be that somehow they have to figure out a way when you go in there and kind of, wow, what a cool place. Yeah. And what a cool server and the whole energy, because you know, people still want to go out. But, you know, as eating out last night, and restaurants are packed. Obviously, it's a restaurant show. But it'll be interesting to see who are those innovators who can figure out that part of the equation and create, you know, some of those fun, exciting things. So when the dining, it's an experience, not just going to get a bite to eat.
Totally. Well, yeah. I'll throw a couple things at you to that, yeah. which is I'm an elder millennial. I have
right.
three kids. You know, our dining out is fairly limited.
Right.
But, you know, I've told this story a couple of times, which is, my wife and I decided to order out a couple weeks ago, and we passed up a number of restaurants. We wanted to try something new. Passed on a number of them because there was no mobile ordering.
Right.
And it was 8 o'clock. The kids were down.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to do this very simply.
Interesting.
And so there was that story. Then the second story I'll tell you is I recently went to First Watch and had their new ordering experience.
Chris won the Gold Plate.
I did. Congrats to Chris.
Chris, good guy.
It. Yeah.
He's such a good guy.
And I
love our industry. We have the best leaders and stuff.
Oh, totally,
too.
Totally. But I had the experience.
The best media people, too.
Thank you for that. I'll pay you after. But, you know, they have their new ordering experience where the receipt they put on your table, it's scan the QR code,
yeah.
and you're out. And for me, I think at my age,
it's
exactly
it work.
What
That's
I'm
right.
looking for.
Yeah, it is interesting because I used to cheat because I call our restaurants ahead of time and place my order. Mm. I'll be there in 10 minutes, you know, that
yeah.
way. But so I guess, so then maybe that is the answer is that technology will fill that and allows them to turn their tables quicker.
Yeah.
The servers make more money. But then did you hear the whole discussion about how they're eliminating tip credit in some areas?
Yeah.
How that? That's going to be a challenge, too.
Totally.
You know, how do you get around that? So it's but, you know, I'm sure some smart people will figure that out, too.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All right, last question.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of challenges,
yeah.
but what's something that's really exciting for you right now?
Well, you know, I just think what a great industry. And like you and I were talking before we came on air, you know, you come to the restaurant show, it's packed, the energy's there. We're both thinking, boy, it might be kind of dead this year because things are slowing down. But what a great industry we're in. And we're great people. And, you know, I was with the NRA, had the leadership, and, you know, to see some of the younger leaders coming up, you know, Chris Tomasso's of the world, it's always fun to see those folks coming through. So there's no doubt our industry is a unique industry. We give back a lot, great people, and it'll be fun to see where things are 5 or 10, 15 years from now as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Nick Voinovich of Little Greek,
oh,
thanks for your time.
Sam,
as always, really
get
appreciate
on air.
It. Yeah.
Hopefully I'll be able to figure out a way out of your booth here and be back safely.
That's right. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Never worry again about sales tax with Davo by Avalara. From collecting to filing to paying, Davo works seamlessly with your POS, backed by a guarantee that your taxes will be paid on time and in full. You take care of the business, we'll take care of the sales tax.